You're listening to Women Speaking Truth, a podcast that inspires women to know God deeper and equips them to take the next step in their God-given callings. My name is Andy Bruce, and I'm so passionate about helping women develop their character and understand their callings that I went out and got a doctorate degree in leadership. Now I'm sharing practical tools about leadership development through a biblical lens so that God can empower and ignite ordinary women like you and I to make His impact on our world. Welcome to the podcast, my friends. You know the calling God has on your life, or the one that you're asking Him to show you? Well, that's what this podcast is all about. Equipping and preparing today, not tomorrow, not next year, not when life gets easier. We all know those things aren't going to happen. But today, so that you live a life ready for whatever God calls you to do. So, you know the term dreams and visions? It refers to God's initiated invitation to His people to expand His kingdom. We all know this phrase, right? Dreams and visions. We sing about these in songs. We read about them in the Bible. Maybe you are even praying and asking God to give you a dream or a vision. You know, every so often we even hear about a friend or somebody who believes that God gave them this dream or vision. And essentially what it boils down to is God deeply and obviously moving in a normal person like you or I in a way that only God can. Here's my issue with all this. We as women, we often don't see ourselves as one whom God could possibly really give a dream or a vision to. And the problem isn't that we think God couldn't give us a dream or a vision. Of course He can, and we're good with that idea. The problem is that we don't see ourselves as capable or worthy or competent or holy or spiritual enough or whatever you want to call it to be given a dream or vision. That's where the rub comes for us as women. We're good with the fact that God has a calling or a dream or a vision for us. We're not so good actually being the one that is given this calling or dream or vision, because ultimately maybe it's because we don't really think we can do it. Or the sense of responsibility that we have once we receive the dream or vision from God. And that's where this nasty word failure starts playing with our heads, right? And we kind of sabotage our callings even before they get rolling. So we've been looking at what the Bible has to say about all this. And bad news, friends, God loves to give dreams and visions to people who are jacked up, unqualified, unreliable, and wrong side of the tracks kind of humans. But that's not new to us. We know this, right? We know God's not looking for polished professionals. We know He's looking for people really ordinary like you and me. Because He not only wants to expand His kingdom through you, He also wants to expand His kingdom in you. So let's be women who close this gap. Here's the gap. Picture a cliff that's got a pretty long, steep drop-off. That cliff is called God Has a Calling for My Life. And then stand on that cliff. Look way over across the gorge at that other cliff that you see way on the other side. That cliff way over there is called I'm Living in the Calling God Has for Me. See all that space between the cliff you're standing on and the cliff you want to be on that's way over there? That is what we want God to do in us. We want to be fully aware, not ignorant, of the cliff and the space between these two cliffs. And we want to be women who pray, God, what do you need to do in me, in my mind, in my emotions, so that I will be filled with faith and belief so I can live the life you've designed and called me to live? And I'm praying that God uses this podcast to close this gap, even just a little bit, and to do new work in you and prepare you further to be part of a community of women who don't wuss out when it comes to Jesus, His kingdom, and our calling. So let's roll. Today on the podcast, we're putting all the pieces of dreams and visions together that we've been talking about for the last six or so episodes. If you're a new listener, no need to go back and listen. We'll fill you in as needed. I'm going to share with you about a vision God gave me about 12 years ago. And then I'm going to unpack or highlight a principle that we've been talking about lately. Because stories teach us. They stick with us. Stories act as mirrors for us. I think that's why the Bible tells us stories. Because stories have a way of not just telling us what happened to him or her. They really tell us what could happen to us. They tell us about something the character in the story learned, or at least should have learned. And what ends up happening is we learn, or at least become more aware of the principle. So that's why I'm sharing my story of God coming to me. And just so you know, I'm going to interrupt myself a whole lot during the story to share some lessons about vision, most of which we've talked about in the previous episodes. So here we go. For me, I remember when God gave me this vision that I'm going to share with you. It was early fall in 2010. And at this point, it was about 5 years of spiritual struggle between God and myself. I've mentioned on the podcast previously my experience with significant ministry burnout when I lived in California. So California and that whole burnout situation, think really unhealthy church, unhealthy pastors, my personal lack of community, too much responsibility on me at way too young an age, and a really immature place in my life in general. And keep in mind, I'm not even mentioning really difficult situations about the people in the church that I was serving at. And as a result of that, Andy and I decided to get out of Dodge. Andy is my husband, by the way. So we got out of Dodge and we found ourselves in Lynchburg, Virginia, in an amazing church that has become our family and the place we belong. But instead of stepping into this amazing church to grow in Christ, I did something that I'm not even sure how aware of this I was at the time. I put my heart for God in neutral. I mean neutral. Not moving forward, not moving backward. Yeah, right. Not quite possible. And just kind of disconnected from God in terms of like just desiring a polite, cordial relationship with God, which I thought was safe. Here's one thing I learned. Neutral is never safe for the heart, ever. Neutral is never just neutral, ever. And I learned this the hard way. So it's fall 2010. It's a Sunday morning. I was at church and there was a baptism service. And in my church, we go hog wild for baptism services that usually have, I don't know, like 40 to 50, sometimes even close to 60 people getting baptized in one Sunday morning. There's a serious celebration on baptism Sundays with worship and a few stories or testimonies shared from people who are getting baptized. And these are powerful stories, like tear-jerking stories of people who were very far from God and how God brought them to salvation. And then they get baptized. Usually the person or people God used to share the gospel to that person is the one baptizing him or her. So this particular morning, like previous baptism services, there was man after man after man being baptized. It was like a parade of men that God was doing radical and amazing things in and through. And at my church, we let family and friends of the baptizee come stand on the stage with that person getting baptized. So the stage was filled with like 30 or 40 or 50 men who are doing like discipleship with the guy who just got baptized. And these guys were just hugging and crying and slapping each other on the back that Sunday morning. And it was amazing. Obviously, God was moving in these men. And like everyone else, I was absolutely captivated and encouraged. And I was cheering these guys on as I watched, and my heart was swelling. I was just so proud of them. And then it happened. The service was almost finished. We were singing a song, and God initiated a breakthrough encounter with me, which just means God broke through my normal, mundane Sunday morning to reveal himself to me and call me to something where he comes simply because he wants to be near me. And God's inviting me into something that he's doing because he just wants to do it that way with me. This is a breakthrough encounter with God. And I'm telling you, it was really simple. No fireworks or smoke or anything. I didn't see a picture. I didn't hear a voice. I didn't receive or experience anything tangible. Instead, my vision from God came quietly, like seriously subtle, silent. It was absolutely unnoticeable to friends and my husband who were standing with me on that Sunday morning. All right, so let's take our first pause so we could talk about lesson number one. Lesson number one, vision can be really easy to miss. If we aren't careful, we can miss the vision God just gave. If we assume that vision has to come with bells and whistles, we're going to miss it. So think about this for a second. Why do we think that vision will come with like a big display of bells and whistles? Because in scripture, we often read this. Okay, so take Saul's story, for example. And Saul's story from the book of Acts, it goes like this. So I'm going to read for a minute some verses, and I want you to hear how vision came to him and all of the bells and whistles that are attached. So this is from the book of Acts. Suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around Saul. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Okay, this is just one story out of like, I don't know, hundreds that we read in scripture. So it's no wonder we assume dreams and visions are dramatic and loud and flashy when we read about, I mean, come on, people falling to the ground and hearing invisible voices and these flashes of light resulting in poor Saul being blinded. But be careful. Be careful. Don't write off what God did simply because for you, it was subtle. Because listen, for me, my thing was not like Saul's, where it was flashes and light and voices and these very tangible things that demonstrated to people around me that God was moving. They're not. For me, it wasn't. So be careful. Because maybe this is going to be true for you, where when God comes to bring dreams and visions to you, maybe it's going to be just like it was for me on this Sunday morning. Quiet and subtle and simple and seriously unnoticeable to the people around you. But don't write off what God did simply because it's subtle. Don't dismiss God simply because he comes gently to you. Like I said, my vision from God was quiet. It was silent. It was unnoticeable to those around me. So watch and don't talk yourself out of times where God brings you a subtle dream or a quiet vision. Because oftentimes I think what we do is we talk ourselves out of it, that it couldn't really be God, or it really isn't this big thing like what we first imagined because it was silent. And this is lesson number one. Vision can be really easy to miss if it doesn't come with fireworks and flashes of light. So back to that Sunday morning. By the way, I'm stalling a little bit here because I'm telling you, years later, this vision where there's no doubt that God moved and did something in me and started something. And even still, this is somewhat difficult to articulate because not much happened. So I'm going to use some metaphors to actually describe what happened. It was like God gently tapped me on the shoulder, and it is like God whispered a little question in my ear. Now, I want to be crystal clear. God didn't tap me on the shoulder, and he didn't whisper in my ear. Those things did not happen. But I'm using these metaphors to attempt to articulate a spiritual occurrence of which there's no evidence of other than my story. And as I've struggled to articulate this breakthrough encounter with God, I've settled personally on this description. It was like God gently tapped me on the shoulder and whispered a little question into my ear. So, the question was this, that I felt like God whispered to me that day. And it's really weird because it even starts in the middle of an idea. So I'm just going to say it exactly how I remember it. The question was this from God. But where is this happening among women? That's it. That's it. That's all that happened. And I'm telling you, this question changed my life. Okay, pause on my story. Vision lesson number two. Here's lesson number two. Articulating the vision or dream God gave you feels seriously funky. I mean, it feels real bad because here's the problem. Articulating a spiritual encounter with God that captures the essence of your experience, it is really hard. For most people, when God comes and gives them his vision, there usually aren't words. There are thoughts. There's an idea. There's an understanding, but often there are no words. And if there are words, there aren't many, like my story, for example. And as you can imagine, this can make you feel like you're losing your marbles. Because listen, here's how this sounds. God came and spoke to me, but I didn't hear anything. Do you hear the oxymoron there? God came and spoke to me, but I really actually didn't hear anything. Okay, try this one. God just showed me something. Dot, dot, dot. But there's no picture that he gave me. Okay, so do you hear how complex this is? We feel like God just showed us something, but honestly, if I was going to show you something, I would put something right in front of you and point to it and show you something on the paper or some kind of picture. But it's weird because with God, we're like, oh, God just showed me something, but there's no picture that he actually gave. Okay, so let me throw one more at you. Here's how it feels. God told me something, but there's no words that he gave, or there's no voice, or there were no conversations. I think you get it. You hear how funky this sounds? It's confusing, and it opens the door really wide to just start putting words on what God spoke, just to feel not so crazy. You know what I mean? We just start layering and layering these words on a spiritual encounter just to try to explain it to ourselves or to somebody else. Not to mention, we have no option but to use human words to describe the vision that God gave. But here's the lesson. Be careful. Choose your words extremely carefully, which leads us to vision lesson number three. Vision lesson number three is this: accurately describe the vision. Don't inflate the vision and make it bigger by saying God told you this or that if he didn't. On the other hand, don't deflate the vision and make it smaller by removing things and shrinking things down just because you're scared. Instead, aim for accuracy. Saying that God told you something when he didn't is like, I'm telling you, it is like quicksand. Because here's what happens. You inflate the vision. You make it bigger. Then, oh gosh, this is such a slippery slope. Then you tell yourself the inflated vision story. Catch that. You inflate the vision. And then you start telling yourself over and over, like on repeat, the inflated version of the vision story. And then you start to believe the inflation. Then you start telling others the inflated vision story. And then you tell more people and they believe you and they're crazy excited. So they start telling others, not the real vision that God gave you, but the inflated version of the vision, because that's what you said happened. And now the vision God gave you is inflated. And maybe for some of you, it's deflated. It's smaller and less than what God told you. And now the thing that God has entrusted to you and the thing that you've shared with others is different. And now, shoot, you feel like you need to manage both. You need to do what God asked you and you need to save face in front of other people. Scary place to be. Just trust me. So keep in mind, the vision is what God actually gave you. It's what God called you to do. Don't add to it. Don't inflate it. And then we're going to talk in just a minute about interpreting the vision and inferring your ideas and wonderings about the vision. So kind of hold, put a pin in it right here. So back to my story. Remember, it was Sunday morning, crazy baptism that morning with God moving in so many men. And then I feel confident in the way that I describe it, although this is not literal. It was like God quietly tapped me on the shoulder and whispered a little question in my ear. The question was super simple. It was this: but where is this happening among women? That's it. And that was the catalyst to God doing totally new work in my life that I did not see coming. So when God began to whisper that little question in my ear, I began to cry a little, which, side note, isn't super uncommon for me during a powerful worship service. I'll get a little bit emotional, just a little bit. But what is highly uncommon is that, no joke, I couldn't stop crying. I'm not a big crier. I'm really not. It kind of freaks me out, especially in front of other people. So we get out of church, we head to the car. And when we get to the car and get our son in his car seat in the back, Andy looks at me and he's like, "What is happening with you?" And I'm still crying. And I say, "I'm good. I mean, I'm not good. I don't know. I think something just happened." And I share with him as best I could what I just told you. God just did something in me at the end of that service. And I think he asked me a question. I think he asked me this, but where is this happening among women? And I'm just crying. And I remember this. I still remember the look on Andy's face. He looked so scared because his wife is having a breakdown with the baby in the back seat in the car right after church. And honestly, I felt somewhat shaken and I just wanted a normal explanation for all of this experience I had just had. So I just tell Andy, "You know what? I'm super pregnant." I think I was like, I don't know, 8 or 9 months pregnant, really. And I tell Andy, "You know what? I'm super pregnant. I bet this is just hormones. I bet it's just hormones, hon. Like, I bet you that's what it is. I bet you in a few weeks, I won't remember any of this." But instead of just dismissing all that I had just said about my hormones, Andy asked me a question. He asked, "What do you think you're supposed to do next?" I told him I had no idea. But there was a really strong pull in me. I mean, strong, especially considering where I was with God at the time. There was this really strong pull to go home and just start praying that God begins to move in the hearts of women, just like I had seen God move amongst all those men at the baptism service. And that's what I did. From that day on, I began to set aside big and small chunks of time to pray. I want to tell you something really clear. At first, it was incredibly awkward because my prayer life previous to this was minimal, polite, and courteous. And so here I am feeling like I'm supposed to pray. And when I prayed, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to pray. So my prayers were crazy bumbly and jumbly and just messy. Like I was alone praying these things and felt extremely conscious and awkward because it was that bumbly and jumbly. But I certainly felt compelled to pray. And slowly, I mean slowly, my prayers began to have direction to them. And no longer was I just thinking of what to say to God. I was praying. My prayer shifted radically from, God, I pray for women and that women would be helped by you. And God, I pray for women. Those prayers shifted to, God, would you capture the hearts and the attention of women in a brand new way? They need you, God. Would women hunger for the righteousness of God? And God, would you create and would you set apart a group of women that you would form who would have crazy things in common? Would they have this strong urge? And would it be true in them that they just obey you? Would they have a strong hunger for you? And together, would they demonstrate this hunger for you? And would they share you, not just with each other, but with people outside of this group that you would collect? I remember weeping on the way to work in the morning and weeping on the way home from work in the evenings as I prayed and prayed and prayed that God would do a new and powerful work in women. So let's pause for a minute, and I want to talk about vision lesson number 4. This was my first experience of learning to let the vision simmer. That's lesson number 4, let the vision simmer. I replayed over and over again what happened on that Sunday morning at church. I think when I got home from church that day, I'm pretty sure I grabbed an old journal and just started writing. I wrote down the whole experience. Not because it was the wise thing to do. I'm not sure I necessarily cared about that. But because writing it in black and white helped me process what had just happened to me. Writing gave me a way to spend time thinking about what had just happened. And it forced me to put to words my vision experience with God. And because I read it over and over and thought about it over and over, here's what's cool. I didn't inflate the vision, and neither did I deflate the vision. Then I just kept letting the vision simmer. I repeatedly told God and told myself the story. That's why I can rattle off with absolute clarity and confidence the question God spoke to me that Sunday morning 12 years ago. But where is this happening among women? That was the question. Because I spent so much time with God and the vision he gave me. I let the vision simmer. And as I let the vision slowly simmer in me, God's vision for me became knit into my heart. Like, seriously, my heart joined in a way I didn't expect. At first, the whole thing was God's vision. It wasn't mine. I didn't have any ownership. Let me just be clear. I didn't even like women. Seriously. But as I journaled, and as I told God the vision, and as I told myself the vision, and as I prayed and prayed and prayed, the vision was no longer just God's. It was mine from God. And God began to do some deep work in me, like convicting me of sin, drawing my heart back to God, showing me that even though I walked away from my relationship with God, He still had a place for me right next to Him. And He began to restore my faith in the church and my faith in God. God convicted, I repented. There was so much good conviction of sin from God and so much needed repentance of sin from me. That is exactly what happened as a result of letting the vision simmer. When you let the vision simmer, it opens the door to God doing the internal work even before there's the hint of external work. And I learned the power of keeping the vision to myself. Now, this isn't always needed. I have not always done this every time. But for me, this was absolutely part of letting the vision simmer. It simply wasn't time to share the vision with anyone but Andy and a close friend or two, because I didn't know what the story was yet. I had no idea what God was doing in me. So I just let the vision simmer on the inside of me. And like I've said, simmering takes time, time and more time, which leads me to lesson number 5, the time test. Because the big question from someone who's received vision is this really from God, or am I seriously just making it all up? Good question, and one that you should be asking. Like my pastor Woody says, if God's not in it, you can't start it. If God's in it, you can't stop it. And for me, while letting the vision simmer, by simply praying and letting the vision simmer, the vision took on a life of its own. Friends, I wasn't trying to have a vision. Actually, quite the contrary. I wasn't trying, but God was doing the vision on the inside of me, and I knew it. So the time test for me proved true. I saw that God was in it, and I couldn't stop it. Okay, so back to the story. I think it was around November. So it had been 2 or 3 months, and Andy asked, just like he did every week or two, what's God doing with the thing He asked you? Is anything happening with that stuff? And because the vision was simmering on the inside of me, I told him, hun, it is like this thing is taking on a life form of its own. I'm praying for women, and it's like God is showing me what to pray. It feels like God is giving me the prayers that I'm supposed to be praying. I'm praying God powerfully gathers women, and that women would come to know Jesus, and that they would be bold and share the gospel with friends, and that those friends would come to know Jesus, and that these women, and on and on and on. And I was just sharing the vision, sharing the experience of praying and letting the vision simmer with my husband. Then I said something to Andy. Oh gosh. I told Andy in that same conversation around November, I'm also praying that God would raise up a woman to lead these women. And honey, I think God has someone in mind, and it's really cool to be praying for her, because I betcha she has no idea what God's gonna do through her. Like, honey, she has no idea. I don't know if I'll ever forget the look on Andy's face. He was looking at me, and it's like he pulled his chin back in surprise. And the look on his face was so distinct. And he's like, are you kidding? I said, no. And he said, you know you're praying for you, right? At that moment, everything became clear. Everything became so clear. I can tell you with absolute honesty, I had no earthly idea that I was praying for me all along. until that moment. I had no idea, none, that God was calling me to lead women. Not once had this idea crossed my mind. Like, seriously, not even once. In fact, I distinctly remember praying that God would let me meet this woman one day so I could tell her how I've been praying for her and what I've been praying for her and what God was going to do through her. I seriously couldn't wait to meet this chick. And suddenly, the vision wasn't just about those women. It was about me. Ugh. I realized God was calling me to expand his kingdom by just loving and leading women. Let the record show, I was simpatico with the whole vision thing up until this point. Realizing that God used vision to change my heart and call me to love and lead women was a doozy, because that was not what I signed up for when I started praying for women. Which leads us to vision lesson number 6. Vision isn't just vision. Vision isn't just vision. It's not just God's picture of a better future. Vision is about our calling, which goes hand in hand with submission. I know, chicks. I know, ladies. We don't always love that word. I do. We'll have to talk about that on a whole other podcast series, huh? For me, I had sworn off, I'm telling you, I had 100% sworn off ever doing ministry again. But that day, I had a choice to make, and I knew it. I'm so grateful I let the vision simmer, because it did the prep work for my heart. As I've been writing out this story for this podcast, and these lessons, you know, have come to mind over the last week or so, I've thought about what would have happened had I ditched the vision 12 years ago because I was too scared to say yes. I would have absolutely ditched the vision because of all the pain I had already incurred doing ministry. And let's be honest, I am so glad that God showed me, like, just by following a spirit and not making a huge, big, crazy deal out of God giving me this vision to just pray for women. Because if I had not let the vision simmer, I know I wouldn't be where I am today. And let's be honest, all God was asking me to do was to pray for women. That's it. So listen, vision has everything to do with your calling, because vision is simply the invitation into the life of saying yes to whatever God has for you. And I want to just repeat, it starts by saying yes. So today, maybe God's giving you vision, maybe he hasn't. Regardless, what can you say yes to right now? Like today, or even right now? Because that's what a life of calling looks like. It's just saying yes over and over and over to God and the little things, so that as you get better and develop that muscle of just saying yes to God and learning to trust him, that is when vision just takes a radical shift, because God sees that he can trust and entrust you with more. So your yes today prepares you to say yes when God plops vision right in front of you. So as always, what did God want you to hear today? And what do you do with that? Hey, I'm super psyched about our next episode, because I pulled aside my pastor and I'm like, hey, can I interview you about dreams and visions? And he's like, huh? I'm like, seriously, can I plop open my phone and just ask you some questions that I feel like I'm asking and some people around me who are listening to a podcast about this whole thing are asking about timing and lessons that you, my pastor, have learned about this. So that's what I'm going to share with you guys next week. I seriously can't wait. Until then, I pray for you guys and say yes to God today. You won't regret it. Here's the thing. People never regret saying yes to God. They only regret saying no or putting off a yes to God. So how can you say yes to him? Talk to you guys next week.